The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Here's the feast of the conversion of St. Paul today, one of four feasts in the course of a year for St. Paul. I'll tell you the other ones just for fun, okay? So there's June 29th, which is the feast of Peter and Paul. And then there's November 18th, which is the Basilica of Peter and Paul. And then there's February 16th, believe it or not, one I've never celebrated before, the Feast of the Shipwreck of St. Paul. Okay, so St. Paul gets four feast days. And we hear the story of the conversion of St. Paul in our first reading. Now, you know, all throughout our church, we've got so many examples of great saints who converted from a deeply sinful life. And it's very encouraging. You know, from the very beginning, you hear about Matthew, the tax collector, which, by the way, is my favorite statue in the base of this altar. Come and look at Matthew one of these times. He's standing on his old bag of gold coins, as if to say, "I leave that all behind." Turns away from darkness and sin. Mary Magdalene, right? Out of whom the Lord drove seven devils. And great leaders like St. Augustine, who is well known for years of sowing his wild oats. And even revered figures like Francis of Assisi lived fast and loose before he changed his heart and met the Lord. And these, you know, maybe they grew weary with their own mediocrity, or they grew tired of being empty on the inside and searching for meaning, or maybe they became disgusted with all their works. They wandered far from home, they changed their lives, they turned back to the Lord. Conversion of so many saints in our church. The conversion of St. Paul is not like that. And I believe this is so important to remember. St. Paul describes himself as being the worst sinner in the world. But in all fairness to St. Paul, he strove with all his heart to be a devout follower of God. A rabbi's rabbi, a Pharisee's Pharisee, right? Studied at the feet of the rabbi Gamaliel, a strict follower of the law of Moses, keeping that law right down to the last detail. And it was for this reason that he was filled with misguided zeal and persecuted the church. Why did Paul persecute the church? Because he believed it was destroying the work of God. No Sabbath observance on a Saturday, no animal sacrifice in the temple, right? No circumcision, none of the rules, none of the laws. And so Paul wanted to destroy this pernicious heresy. And with great zeal, thought he was doing God's work. Until, as you know, as we heard in our first reading, he met Jesus Christ. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, sir?" "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." And his whole system of values was turned on its head. Okay. It's in that sense that I believe we are living in a world filled with St. Paul's. I think we need to live like this and knowing this. Not just there's people who are sinful out there and they're going to convert from their sin. That's actually a separate topic. That's not what I'm talking about here today. But rather, people filled with a misguided zeal who think they're doing the right thing in attacking the church. Those people are hearts that can be changed. We need to believe this and take hope in this. All across the Middle East, right? All across North Africa, we've heard about all the persecutions of the church, the bloody executions, the beheadings. I'm telling you that there's as certain as there's a God in heaven, there are St. Paul's among them waiting to have their hearts changed. Right here in our own country, a more secularist and legalist persecution of the church, and not quite open, hopefully never, but at least not yet, has been unleashed upon us. Hardened secularists, they might describe themselves as social justice warriors. You know, hardened secularism, atheistic materialism, it's not a religion, but it sure does function like a religion. And in a sense of misguided zeal, these souls, they attack the church because at some level in their heart, they believe that the church is causing harm, right? Medieval superstitions, old-fashioned repression, all kinds of rules burdening people's lives, stomping on their rights. And like St. Paul, these hearts are waiting to be converted. I'm certain of it. You know, 9 times out of 10, if you meet a cynic, what you've met is a disappointed idealist who's still hoping for a reason to believe. We can help them find that reason. Your heart is changed when you meet Jesus Christ. That's what does it. It's not hearing doctrines and explaining. It's meeting the Lord. We can help them to do that. Only God can provide it, but we can assist. 3 ways we can assist. We can assist with our good example, with our encouragement, and with our prayer. Okay? Good example. No one will ever tell you that your good example, I shouldn't say no one, almost no one will tell you that your good example changed their life. But good example is always recognized. Now we need to remember that. Every time you turn the other cheek, every time you refuse to return insult for insult, injury for injury, people can't help but take notice and be moved in their heart by what is objectively a good example. We can offer this to other people, and it changes lives. You know, the devil plays dirty. You bring a knife, he brings a gun. It's always insult for insult, it's always injury for injury. We have to fight on a totally different playing field in which we refuse to do that. That good example does get through. We need to know that, right? We need to know that. We can help people with our good example. We can help people with our encouragement. You know, because sometimes people will come to you after years of sin, and they'll feel like there's no hope for them. And we need to help people understand that in God's economy, nothing is ever wasted. God makes everything work for the good. Everything. You know, and St. Paul's life is the best example of this. All his persecution of the church, all of his attacks, all of his bloodshed only made him the more effective witness to Christ. Everything works for the good in God's economy. It's true for the life of St. Paul, and it's true for the life of every single one of us. In God's economy, nothing is ever wasted. And then lastly, I don't think this is something we should ever rest and give up on, and that is prayer. Prayer and sacrifice. As I've told you before how prayer works. It doesn't change anybody's heart. But it sure does give that heart an unfair advantage. You know, like when you feel like changing your behaviors or converting away from sin, it's so very subtle. Something in what you see or in what you think nudges your conscience and tells you that maybe you're going about the wrong direction. Those nudges of conscience are the consequence of somebody's prayers. It gives a soul an unfair advantage. That's what we need to be offering people in the world. Right? You can think about people by name, you can think of it in generality, anything you want to do. But through encouragement, through good example, and through prayer, never lose heart looking around in this. Every soul is kapax dei, capable of God and made for God, and will not rest until it rests in him. Never lose heart. Right? Let's always remember this message here from the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. Let's help souls meet the Lord as St. Paul did, and ask for his prayers to help us. St. Paul, pray for us.